60. 460. Just a couple pages over, number 463. 463. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus?
Tender, pure, and pure. open your Bibles, if you got them, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Continuing our going through the book of Mark. I think it's the fifth or sixth message. I don't know. Start at verse 14, read down through verse 20. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers of men. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. O our God and our Father, the God of all grace, the Father of mercies, he whose mercy endureth forever, he who's made promises, and all of your promises are in your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, Lord, we look to you today, as we've said so often, Lord, as we call on you, and that, Lord, we need your presence. I can go through an outline. I can read the scriptures. But without your power and presence, Lord, without the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, there'll be no preaching, there'll be no hearing, there'll be no blessings, there'll be no edifying. So, Lord, we ask for your blessed presence today. Cause your face to shine upon us here. Forgive us of everything that's unlike you. Oh, everything that's so unlike you. And, Lord, we pray now for those among us who are sick in their body, maybe even heart sick, soul sick, weak or frail, we ask for your great and abundant mercies to be given to them. We know your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we ask if you'd be pleased to cause the gospel to find a lodging in a heart today and bring glory to yourself in the preaching of the gospel. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 145.
Salvation bring, hail thou
Sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Here in Mark chapter 1 with me. Talking about fishing for men. Our Lord's message starts after John is put in prison. And all these four Gospels have, except John, don't deal with this. But here he is. Things are given different places in the scriptures, in the Gospels. But it says here he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what he said about the time is fulfilled. Time is fulfilled. What time? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The time is fulfilled. It's time. I bet the things concerning me have been fulfilled. I've come. My Father sent me. I have a work to do. And he said, the kingdom of God's at hand. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, if you got a kingdom, you got to have a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of God right now is here, present in me. When you see me, you see God's kingdom. When you see me, you see God's rule. You see me, you see God's authority. You see me, you see God's word manifest in the flesh. So that's what he's saying. And the kingdom of God's at hand. And then he says, repent. You better have a change of mind. May God change your mind. And then the gospel. And repent and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. And so here he comes. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Walking by the Sea of Galilee. And that's where he's, you know, he lived in Galilee. He's called a Galilean. That's what he called him. Jesus of Nazareth, where he's raised up, and then he lives in Galilee. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee, out walking. And he saw, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And then he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you come after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And what our Lord's doing, we said, you know, he said, you come after me. Come after me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Now, most preachers, when they deal with that, they start chiding people because they're not out knocking on doors and begging people to get saved and going through all the rigmarole, making people to make a profession. But that's not what he's talking about here. So there's ways that you're doing. And if we're coming after Christ and following him, he'll make us to become fishers of men. And what that means to me, and what I hope it means to you, is that we in our heart and soul, and in our prayers, and in our preaching, and in our witnesses, we want men and women to be saved by the grace of God. We want men and women to come after Christ, to follow Christ. We want men and women to hear the command, come, come after me. And the only thing that will cause people to come after Christ and follow Christ is the gospel. And the gospel. And when he says that I'll make you fishers of men, we'll be throwing out the gospel net. And that's what he said. And he says there that he saw. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee in verse 16, he saw. He always sees. He always sees. You think there's anything he doesn't see? He saw. He sees me and he sees you. And he saw. And then he goes down here in verse 19. He goes just a little farther in verse 19. And he saw. He saw. So who's he seeing here? He's seeing his elect. He's seeing people that belong to him. He's seeing people that he's going to call to himself. And when he says, come after me, he says, come after me in verse 16. And down there, he told him to come after him. Now, I want you to know this is not an invitation. It's not an invitation. Christ never gave an invitation. And a preacher of the gospel never gives an invitation. Our Lord says, come. That's what he means, come. Come and follow me. That's a commandment, not an invitation. It's not Jesus standing there, please come, please come, please come. That's not what's happening here. No, no, he called them, and that's what he's doing. And then their reaction. And to show you this not an invitation, look at their reaction. In verse 18, straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Down to verse 20, straightway he called them, and they left their father and Zebedee, their father Zebedee, in the ship and the hired servants, and went after him. Now, what's our Lord saying? They left their father, they followed him. And our Lord told us, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Self is the hardest person in the world that you have to deal with. Self is the hardest person in the world you have to deny. Self-righteousness, self-confidence, pride, traditions, false message, all the things that we have to deny to follow him, to follow him. And come after me. That's a command. When our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me. Now, when he gives a come, that means that you come to him. And I tell you, it's not only burdened and heavy laden over your own sin, but it's also, as you become believers and follow him, you'll have heavy hearts. You'll be carrying lots of loads on your back. You'll be carrying problems and pain and sorrow and grief and depression and despair. You'll be going through lots of things in this world. And that's why he says, come after me. Where else are you going to go? When his disciples turned and walked away from him after he says, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. And the flesh won't profit you nothing. There was a multitude turned and walked away from him. He looked at the 12. You also going to go away? You know what he said? You know what they said? Said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words. You've got the words of eternal life. And when our Lord said, come unto me, come to me. That's a command. That's a command. And then our Lord said to him, said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You're not going to come to that kingdom. You're not going to come. You've already been blessed of the Father, he said. You've already been blessed. What are you blessed with? Christ. He's all in all. What are you blessed with? Salvation? What are you blessed with? Mercy? What are you blessed with? Grace? Well, listen, you've already been blessed. I've got a kingdom prepared for you, and it was built and prepared before you was ever born, before the foundation of the world. You reckon anybody ain't going to go? And oh my, look who he called. Back here, you know, look who he called. He called fishermen. Fishermen. Fishermen, not wise men, not religious men, not mighty men, not powerful men, not rich men, not intelligent men. He didn't care about any of those things. He says, you come out. He called working men. He called men of, that was nobody, nobody. How many people you reckon was in Israel at that time? How many people in Galilee that was fishermen at that time? And our Lord calls these men just fishermen. They're not wise men. They're not wealthy men. They're not powerful men. They've got no authority anywhere. They don't impress anybody doing anything. They got up every morning, got ready, and went fishing. And he called them. You know why he called them? Because they were his elect. You know, every blessing that we get from God is because of His electing love. Huh? All because of His electing love. He chose us in Christ because He loved us. And here He called them because they were His elect. And He started His public ministry with just four men. Four men. Four men. And our Lord teaches us how to become fishers of men. And I want you to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 13. You know, He teaches us how to become fishers of men. And like I said, you know, if we're going to be fishers of men, we got to do it His way, not our way. Not our way. Not our way at all. But look what He said here in Matthew 13:47. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just and shall cast him into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So when He says that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea. You know, the net's the gospel. The gospel. You cast the net. Now, you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know what fish you're going to catch. And I tell you, I've watched lots of people fish with nets. I've watched lots of people fish with nets. I've seen them, especially... You know, you go some places and they'll throw a big net out and they'll either do it to catch bait or they'll do it to catch big fish. And so they say, our Lord says, the kingdom of heaven's like a net. And you throw that net out. And you cast that net out. And you can't see where the net's going. You can't see who the net's going to catch. And it's not up to me to drag it to land. I don't drag it to land. I can't drag it to land. But I throw the net every time I preach the gospel. Every time I preach the gospel, I throw that net. And I don't know who in the world's going to get in it. I don't know. But I tell you what, when you cast that gospel net, you know what the gospel means? Good news. Good news. You know what's good news? Paul said, that which I delivered unto you, I also told you how that Christ died for our sins. How? According to the Scriptures. How that He was buried and that He was raised again according to the Scriptures. And so this is what we're talking about. We got to preach the gospel that's according to the Scriptures. And I'll tell you something, beloved, there's no salvation apart from hearing and believing the gospel. There's no salvation apart from that. And I mean, I'm talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time I was preaching in a foreign country on an island, and there was this fella preaching, and he taught preaching and theology at Duke University. Smart fella. He got up and he preached from Matthew 28, where he's, you know, our Lord said, go ye into the kingdom of, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he's used that, he said, and he got through preaching, and I told him at the end of his message, I said, you didn't come at spitting distance of the gospel. You never dealt with Christ at all. You never mentioned Christ dying for sinners. You never mentioned Christ being a substitute for sinners. You never mentioned Christ putting sin away. He said, well, that wasn't my message. He said, I was preaching the Great Commission. Well, what in the world's a Great Commission if it ain't to preach the gospel? Our Lord said the kingdom, He come preaching the gospel, said the kingdom of God's here. Not way out yonder somewhere, it's here right now. The kingdom of God's right here right now. It's not coming, it's here. That's what he told Nicodemus. He said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And you can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And oh my, let me show you something. You keep Matthew 13. I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians with me. You go over Thessalonians with me. And I want you to see something over here. 2 Thessalonians 2. You know, I just said no salvation apart from hearing the gospel. No one saved by a false message. Not ever, ever, ever. Now look what he said here in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. You're beloved of the Lord. God loves you. And how do you know God loves you? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Well, how did he do it? Through sanctification of the Spirit and believing the truth. You can't be saved by a lie. You can't be saved by a false message. You can't be saved by a yea and nay gospel. You can't. I heard a fellow say one time, he says, you know, sovereignty is right and free will is right. It can't both be right. Can't both be right. Either God's sovereign salvation's of the Lord or salvation's by man. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. And I tell you, the net's thrown. You throw that net, and when you do it, you know what it gets? It gets fish. It gets men. It gets souls. And they're gathered into that net. And then when it was full, look what it said. When verse 48 here, back over in our text. And oh, they gathered it out of every kind. Every kind. And when it was full, drew it to shore, and they sat down, no hurry, gathered the good, put in the vessel, cast the bad, cast them away. Oh, my. And then look what he goes on to say. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. Oh my, cast about away. And you know what he's talking about here? This is the visible church. Good and bad. Good and bad. Wicked and just. Men fall in one or two of those categories. You're either just or you're wicked. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. And there's no middle ground there either. You know, here's the visible church. Always, always been a mixed assembly. And I'll tell you something else. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you something. Keep Matthew 13. Now I want you to go over here and look with me in Luke chapter 5. You know, our Lord knows where the fish are. Our Lord knows where the fish are. Three times our Lord knew where the fish was. Three times. He knows exactly where the fish are. And he's the only one who knows how to separate them. Look what he says now. They got our Lord was in a ship. And in verse 4 it said, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, launch out into the deep. Go out into the deeper water now. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, didn't call him Lord, called him Master. We have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. We didn't make no money last night, worked all night, didn't do any good at all. But he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net break, and they beg it under their partners, which were in another ship. Come and help us. And they came, and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. That's the first time that our Lord knew where the fish was. Second time, he says, listen, go over to the sea, cast in, and you'll catch a fish, when they was talking about paying taxes, and he said, you catch that fish, and there'll be a coin in his mouth, and you take that coin and go pay your taxes. Second time, our Lord. He said, I know exactly where to get your taxes at. Where at? In a fish. It's like Jonah. Great fish swallowed Jonah. You know, our Lord knows how to get him out, and he knows where to put him, and he knows where that fish was and where the taxes need to be paid. Go down there and get that fish, take that coin out, and go pay your taxes. And the third time that he told where fish was, you remember when those fellows went back fishing after our Lord had been crucified, he'd raised from the dead, and he come out to them, he was all out in the, John and James and Simon and them was out fishing, and our Lord stood on the seashore and said, children, have you caught anything? Nothing. He said, I tell you what you do, cast your net on the right side. And they caught so many fish, said they caught 53 of them, and it took all of them to drag them to shore. And then when they got there, our Lord already had fish cooked for them. So you see, I don't know where the fish are, but I know how to catch them. And I said, gospel's what catches them. The gospel's the only thing that'll catch them. The only thing that'll catch them. And that's what our Lord knows back over in our text in Matthew 13. So we cast that gospel net, casting it out. Casting it out. I'm casting it this morning. I'll cast it tonight. I'll cast it Wednesday night. And then I want you to look here with me in Matthew 13 and verse 24. Here's another way that God makes us fishers of men. Look down here in verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which goes sowed good seed in his field. Good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Want us to get them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Oh my. And here's what's happening here. Every time I'm sowing seed. The gospel is a seed. And I tell you, when a seed is sown, and the gospel being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this gospel, and while we're preaching the gospel, the enemy comes along and he puts some tares among them. And tares look just exactly like wheat, but it don't have any fruit. Wheat has fruit. Wheat brings forth bread. Wheat has some purpose to it, but tares have no purpose. And we don't know, and sometimes preachers do this, but it's not my responsibility or your responsibility to start pulling up tares. I think some people are tares. I believe they're tares. But I don't know. I really don't know. But I certainly ain't going to pull them up. I'm not going to go out here and start harping on people and where they go and what they do, what they don't do, and what they should do, and where they should go and what they don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm sowing good seed. And if a devil comes along and sows some bad seed, and again, that's the visible church. Now, how in the world are we going to separate them? I can't separate them. I don't know who God's elect are. I don't know who believes the gospel. But I tell you, he does. And you know when they're going to be separated? At the harvest. Just like those good fish and bad fish. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to send them, and you gather all them tares. He said, I know where every one of them is. He said, you go, and he said, when I send the harvest, said, I'm going to have them gather every one of them tares. And we're going to tie them up in bundles, and we're going to do just exactly like they did over there when they separated the wicked from the just. And he said, we're going to throw them in the fire. And over there about the good seed, I mean about the net, he says, they'll be thrown into where there's burning and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh my. Who does this? The angels do this. The harvesters do this. Oh my. How do they sever the wicked from the just? Oh my. And all men are one of these two groups. But who's just? Who is just? How do you get to be one of the just? How do you become one of those that's justified? How do you become one of those that when they come to separate, God will say, that's mine. How can you say you're just? There's only one person that can justify us. Christ. Here's what happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ was delivered up. Who delivered him up? God delivered up Christ. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was delivered for our offenses. But then he was buried, and Scripture said he rose again. What for? For our justification, to justify us before God. How could he do that? He put our sins away. He put our sins away. He bore our sins in his own body. And when we come to Christ and we believe on Christ, God himself says, you are a just person before me. What's my justification that I don't have any sin? Christ? What's my justification that I'll spend eternity with Christ? Christ? What's my justification that I'm accepted of God? Christ? What's my justification that I'll be saved eternally? Christ? Most fellas, they want to look back and say, I'm saved because I did this way back yonder. I was saved when I made a profession when I was 12. I got saved when I was 10. They got to go back to somewhere. Listen, I'm going to Christ today. I went yesterday. I'm going today. I'm going this afternoon. I'm going tonight. And I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to come to Christ. I've got nobody else to go to. I got nobody else that will clear me of all my guilt, my shame. He done it all, I'm telling you. He did it all. Forget your doing. Look to what he did. Doing's a deadly thing. Deadly thing. But oh, coming to Christ is life, 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 life. Huh? Oh my. I tell you what religious people do. They reduce the gospel to formulas and cliches. They've got the ABCs of salvation. They got the seven easy steps. They've got the Roman road. They've got, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. Trusting in the finished work of Christ is not enough. You got to trust in Christ to finish the work. There's a big, big difference in that. Big difference. And I tell you what, the only people that Christ has ever saved had been people like old Simon and Andrew and John and James, old fishermen, old hard men, old tough men, men that was nobodies, nobodies. And you know when God will save a man? When he's nobody, when he's nothing. And you know how he becomes nobody and how he becomes nothing? God makes him that way. Huh? God ever made you to be nobody? God ever made you to be nothing? Oh my. The gospel is Christ died for our sins. And I tell you, we're unable. We're unable to sever anybody from anybody. And he told them, said, take the things that offend. Our Lord said there now in verse 30, he said, take the things that offend. Take the things that offend. Cast them into a furnace. You know, I don't like to talk about hell. I don't like to preach hell. I don't. I just don't. But hell's a real place. And real people are sent there. Real people are sent there. And you know, it says over here in said we'll shine like the Father. Look back over here and then in Matthew 13. Look in verse 40 with me for a moment. 36, excuse me. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him and saying, declare unto us this parable of the tares in the field. He answered, said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. We don't have the ability to do this now. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend God, offend Christ, offend the holiness and righteousness of God, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now look at the difference where we go. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They're over here. God's getting rid of them. We're going up there and shine just like the sun. Huh? Big difference, ain't it? Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, our Lord, he called them. And I tell you what, his call's irresistible. He says, come after, come. And when he calls a man, he's coming. It's an irresistible call. Absolutely irresistible grace. Irresistible call. You reckon those fellas said, nope, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to fish the rest of my life. Boy, they just dropped what they was doing. Dropped it right then. And they started following the Lord Jesus Christ. They followed him down there when he called John and James. Andrew and Simon were standing there when he called John and James. And those fellows knew one another. And he called them and they said, Daddy, he called us. I'm sorry, but we got to go. I'll leave the ship with you and you all take care of it. I'm going to follow him. Oh, my. How do you follow someone? How in the world do you follow someone? Well, you got to keep your eye on them. You don't look at your feet. You look at the person you're following. You know, our Lord says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know if you're going to follow somebody, you got to keep your eye on them. Huh? Oh, you don't look at your feet. Well, got to watch where my feet go. No, you keep your eyes on him, and your feet will go in the right place. They'll stand in the right place every time, won't they? I'm gonna close with one little thing over here in Luke 5. Look in Luke 5 with me. I want to go through a few things over here, and I'll quit. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, how merciful is our Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow somebody, keep your eye on them. And here, starting verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God," you notice they wanted to hear what God had to say. What God had to say. "He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships." Now this is a different, this is where, another instance where Christ called Simon. This shows a different way of doing it. "And he entered into the ships, one of the ships which was Simon's, and prayed him that we thrust out a little from the land. He sat down," and he sat down in that ship, "and he taught the people." Everybody got down there, right down the edge of the shore, you know, got right down by the water. Our Lord just out a little bit, and he sits down there, and he starts teaching these people. He started teaching them. And I'll tell you, when he had left speaking, he got through teaching the people. He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep. Leave this place here and go out in the deep water. Let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said, "Oh, Master." See, he didn't call him Lord yet. Hadn't called him Lord yet. "We've toiled all night." And that's what most folks want to do. They want to tell the Lord how much they've worked. "Oh, I've worked for you, Lord. I've been faithful for you, Lord. I've done so many wonderful things for you, Lord. And we toiled all night, and we have absolutely taken nothing. Without Christ, you can't catch anything, that's for sure. And nevertheless, at thy word," I tell you what I'll do, "since it's your word," I heard everything you said when you was teaching her, "at your word," and that's what we do, "we have nothing to trust but his word. Nevertheless, at thy word," I'm going to do it. "I'm going to let down the net." "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes." When you do what Christ says, he gonna make you fruitful. He can do exceeding abundantly what we think or ask. And then look what it did. "And they said, John, you and James, all these other fellows, come over here, help us. We got fish." And they was throwing fish in this boat and that boat, throwing fishes everywhere. "And they came and filled both ships, and they got laid down low in the water." And you know what happens when you see what Christ can do? When you pay attention to Christ's word, when you obey Christ at his word, you know what he said? This is what you see about yourself. When Simon Peter saw it, Christ still sitting in that ship, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, "Lord, oh Lord, I'm such a sinful man. I'm such a sinful man. Lord, just depart from me. I'm not worthy of you looking at me. I'm not worthy of you doing anything for me. I'm a sinful man, oh Lord." And that's the first thing you'll do when you see Christ and his power and his glory and his authority. And then, oh, and this is what it said, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were partners with Simon." And you know what our Lord said unto them? "Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, look what it says, "they forsook all and followed him." Oh my. The whole gist of this message is there ain't but one gospel. Christ knows where the fish are, knows how to catch them. I've sowed the seed, I've thrown the net. We'll see what happens when this thing winds up. Our blessed Savior, bless your holy name. You're so gracious. You're so pitiful. You're so kind. You're so tender towards us. And I'm thankful for it, Lord. Oh, how I'm thankful. Oh, Lord, your ways are past finding out. I'm so thankful, so thankful. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to save people, to talk them into anything. Just preach the gospel to them, preach Christ to them. And Lord, I remember the day you told me, come unto you, and I followed you. And I'm sure others here follow you. And once we start following you, we follow you all the way till we enter into glory. And there we'll see you as you are, and we'll be just like you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your people. Lord, bring glory to yourself through this gospel, through this body of believers, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.